கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம ராம ராம. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. Few days back we were discussing in the Bhagavatam class about the principle of ashraya. The biggest need, the deepest need of everyone in this world is to take shelter. We come to this place to take shelter. The process of bhakti is to take shelter. Last several days there have been very beautiful festivals. It's a festive season in one sense, because we have Chandan Yatra going on. And we take shelter of these various pastimes of the Lord to rejuvenate our dwindling bhakti. So we can reminisce some of these beautiful things which we are seeing every day. We are seeing the Chandan Yatra, and our hearts feel great joy that in our Gaudiya tradition this beautiful festival has been established, whereby the Vigraha has seen so much as a person. We decorate him, we feed him, we bathe him, we dress him, we dance for him, we offer him food, right? We decorate his body. And knowing that the Lord actually also feels hot, like we feel hot, the fan is on. We feel hot, we need the fan to be on. When we select a room, we would probably say, is there AC in the room? Because we all feel hot. So Vishwarupa Prabhu, who has a physical body which feels usually quite hot, he has that Pitta Pradhan Prakriti. So he feels very hot. So one day he went to Radhanath Swami and said, Maharaj, we have got AC for all the devotees in the temple room. How about AC for the Lord? The Lord must be feeling hot also. And Maharaj, being a transcendentalist, got the clue. And from then onwards, seeing that Krishna is probably speaking through his dear devotee, so AC was installed in our DT room. So that in the night when, you know, you need AC when you sleep, right? More than anything else. So to make it comfortable for the Lord, then AC was put. So the coolest substance in the trees have so many wonderful properties. One of the coolest things among trees, the trees have sweetness in the form of sugar cane. The trees have bitterness in the form of, you know, neem and karela. Trees have so many properties. It's amazing how Krishna can put variety of properties in simple trees. So there are sweet trees like the stevia leaf is very sweet. You can replace it for sugar. So also trees have got property of giving cooling to the body. Some trees are heating. When you are feeling cold, you apply ginger powder on your feet, you'll get heat. When a person is dying, sometimes they apply ginger powder on his legs. It's a great warmth. But the same tree, from the same ground, from the same rainfall, from the same environment, everything same. But Krishna can put different properties, what we call as unity in diversity. Yeah. Biodiversity, you know, GV should talk about biodiversity, right? So biodiversity, may you have even plants which give cooling effect, and the cooling, most cooling plant is, there are many cooling plants, marshmallow and coconut water, these things. But the most cooling plant is actually the chandan. So wonderful it is that the Sri Vigraha, Sri Gopalji, was under the ground when some Muslims had attacked. And he comes in the dream of Mahendra Puri and says, I am feeling hot. Now, does the Lord really feel hot? That is the question. Does the Lord have a nervous system? We have a nervous system which gives us, there are fibers in the body called A, B and C fibers. There are C fibers conduct, you know, pain and temperature into the brain. Does the Lord have a nervous system to feel hot? No, obviously not. Janma karma, the bodies of the Lord is transcendental. How is it that a non-material body can feel material feeling like hot? The Lord's body is transcendental and still he feels hot. Sometimes he feels cold. Right? The Lord feels cold, sometimes he feels hot. So on the level of Siddhanta, we cannot understand this alone, because Siddhantically, the Lord's body is spiritual and therefore it cannot really feel hot and cold, because that is material, because it is duality. Hot and cold is duality. Does the Lord have any duality in his body? No. A non-dual person is experiencing hot and cold. So we have to go to the higher level of understanding called as Yogamaya. A part of Yogamaya is the Lord's Leela Shakti. When you see from the perspective of the Leela Shakti, with that lens, you can understand actually the Lord actually feels hot because he wants to reciprocate love with his devotees. So when he feels hot under the ground, then he is actually inviting Madhavendra Puri and the whole world to understand the glory of Madhavendra Puri, that an old man like this walk such a long distance from Vrindavan to walk to Jagannath Puri is very, very long. In an era where there was no transport at all, an old man is walking through on bare feet. What must be an arduous journey? But how a pure devotee doesn't, you know, fear anything. He just goes because of the Lord's desire. He doesn't care. And he brought back so many kilos of chandan back, applied to the body of the Lord. Because earlier they had put a lot of water on the body of the Lord, of Govindakund. Lord is saying, I'm still not feeling cold. I'm not feeling, still very hot. Govindakund is a very special refreshing water. Still feeling very hot. I said, you get the chandan. So, Prabhupada was being fanned by his dear devotees when it was hot. And Prabhupada said, when you fan the spiritual master, it reduces the heat of material desires in your own consciousness. What you call as Mahadavagni. Mahadavagni is what really is promoting all material desires, the constant fuel. The fuel is the desires we put in, and then a consciousness blazes like fire because we put the fuel of desires into it. And the more desires you put into it, the more the flame of hankering becomes stronger and stronger. Right? So when you fan the Lord, when you apply chandan on the Lord, when you see the Lord's form applied chandan, when you appreciate that Leela and the devotees who have done that, when you appreciate that or get connected with that, that reduces the tavagni of your own heart. That is the transcendental purpose of actually having chandan yatra for all of us. To deeply appreciate the Lord feels cool when he gets chandan. When we appreciate that, we feel cool actually, because we are part of the Lord. We are amsha of the Lord. When we appreciate the Lord, the whole, then the part also gets benefit automatically. So then we get that benefit of actually reducing the heat, what we call in medical languages, inflammation of material desires. So we apply a cooling balm, like you have when you get burned, you apply Bernal, which is cooling, or Calamine lotion, which is cooling, right? So you apply chandan on the Lord, actually, it cools our own material desires, right? So that is very wonderful, because till that continues, we will continue this journey of cycle of birth and death. 2 days back was also the wonderful festival of Rukmini Dwadashi, right? The appearance day of Rukmini Devi. So we can be a little proud that, you know, she was born in Maharashtra. She was born in Vidarbha, so she is Vaidarbhi, right? So Leela is very interesting. And the next day, of course, was Narasingha Jayanti. Trayodashi, then the Narasingha Jayanti, Chaturdashi. So there are some beautiful parallels between these two pastimes of the Lord. His appearance at Narasingha Dev and his Leela with Rukmini Devi. We'll try to see if we can see some parallels and learn valuable lessons from that. One is that Rukmini had given her heart to the Lord when she had not even seen him. And Prahlad was taking shelter of Krishna when he had not even seen him. Both got to know about Krishna by the process of hearing. Process of hearing. Prahlad had heard in intrauterine life from his great Mahajanacharya, Sri Narad Muni. Right? And after 7 months of pregnancy, consciousness becomes activated. It is before that it is there, but it is not in an activated state. After 7 months becomes activated. So you become start responding to people and situations around you. So after 7 months, that child is actually fully receptive to what's happening around him or her. And at that time, Narad Muni injected transcendental knowledge. Prahlad had only heard, and he became completely convinced of the Lord's presence and taking shelter of his lotus feet. Rukmini Devi had only heard, again from the same person, Narad Muni, who had come to Bhishma Maharaj's palace about the glories of Sri Krishna, right? And her natural love for Krishna arose. So these two leelas give us credibility and give us reinforcement of the principle of Shravanam. That actually, Prabhupada says, why are the scientists so much concerned about seeing? Why is not the sense of hearing as good as seeing? What is also special about the eyes, which is not special about the ears? In fact, the tool of seeing is more limited than the tool of hearing, because seeing requires a particular spectrum of vision. You have to see. And only you can see some distance. I cannot see. In fact, now I cannot see. If I open up this book, I am not able to see properly because still I have my presbyopic glasses. So the seeing is so limited, right? And if something is far, you cannot even see it. But you can see anything, however far, for unlimited distance if you access the process of hearing. So hearing transcends or gives you a faculty of acquiring knowledge which is far beyond seeing. Right? You can hear about things which you don't see, and therefore you can experience them through your ears. So in spiritual life, we do not stress so much the seeing factor. I may not see my spiritual master always around me. I may not really be in his physical presence. But if I'm hearing him, I'm connected to him through his vani, then I'm also experiencing him. So we must, as a devotees, we understand that hearing is equal to experiencing. That's a factor. That experiencing divinity is not a sensory perception of the skin or the eyes, but it is something which is connected with our ears. It said the soul, that the shortest distance between any sense, you have 5 karmendriya, gnanendriyas, like distance traversed. The shortest distance between the soul and the 5 senses is the ear. So it is the last, so it is, it gets activated before life. You can't see when you are in the womb because it is dark. The womb is a dark place. It's not illuminated by anything. So you don't see anything in the womb. But the hearing has already started. Hearing has already started. So you start experiencing the world first. Because through the skin, sense of skin, the third kind of Bhagavatam talks about how you feel pain with the insects and parasites inside. But that's so you can experience only the intrauterine environment. But to experience things outside, you have to, the hearing starts. Hearing starts. So you can actually hear your mother, you can actually hear your father, you can hear people around you, you can hear them. And it is the last sense which goes before you die. So even a person who's comatose condition, actually, we can give him Harinam, we can feed his soul Harinam it when he is apparently unconscious to the external world. The hearing faculty is the last faculty to actually leave you. So devotees can talk to the soul, even to a dying man or a woman, when they are unconscious. Right? So that is such a powerful tool to understand. Hearing is so very powerful. Right? It's extremely powerful tool in this material world. Right? And therefore we call it Shabda Pramana. Our Pramana is primarily based on Shabda. Right? So, Rukmini Devi, both were in quite a desperate situation. Prahlad and Rukmini, pretty desperate. And they were actually on the verge of death. For a chaste woman to be touched by a person whom she does not just like, whom she actually dislikes from the core of her heart because of his inferior base, you know, qualities, based on the lower nature of the self, to be touched by such a person who is very chaste and qualified and civilized, aristocratic and pure, is as good as feeling of death. So Rukmini was actually going to emotionally die if she were ever going to be touched by somebody like Sishupal. It would be horrible for her, right? And for Prahlad, he was on the verge of death. He was actually on the verge of death. Because till now, Hiranyakashipu had only relied on his soldiers and his associates to kill Prahlad. So just like Kamsa called Krishna into Mathura so they can kill him personally. Because whoever was sending to Vrindavan was getting killed. All the asuras were killed, right? But he said, I should call him in my pitch, in my hometown, in my place, and I can kill him personally. So till now, Hiranyakashipu was relying on his people to kill with the snakes and fire and poison and all that. He said, I will kill him now. He said, where is your God? Where is your God? You talk about God all the time, your Vishnu. Where is he? So Prahlad was absolutely so peaceful. He was, how can a person be so peaceful in front of a person like Hiranyakashipu? Right? Even a small comment, some challenging somebody, we get so agitated. Now he is so peaceful. He is challenged by somebody as powerful who can challenge Indra and Surya. He is getting challenged by that thunderous, loud call. So where is your God? He said, he is everywhere. So is he in this pillar? He said. So without even thinking twice, he said, yes. He said, if he is there, I want to see him right now. And I want to see him more than see him. I want to see him protect you from my sword. Right? And he pushes the pillar and that sword is ready. It is Hiranyakashipu's sword. We heard from Gaurang yesterday about his Bali. Right? Right? Huge. It was, he said it was several kilometers. I was imagining what did that mean? How can somebody's earrings be several kilometers in size? It is way beyond mental conception. But if that is true, and I guess it is, then what is his sword? What is the size, the power of Hiranyakashipu's sword? It is not like the sword which you use in dramas. We just tuck, 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 we do and just poke somewhere. You poke it, but you know it doesn't get poked because nothing, it has got no razor's edge. But Hiranyakashipu's sword must be something which can slice mountains, I'm sure. Can slice mountains. Cut! And that sword was going to be on the neck of a tender skinned person like Prahlad. And he would just slash it. Just the way Kamsa slashed and smashed. The power of 10,000 elephants smashing a small infant baby who is few hours in this world. What does that mean? What cruelty is that? So daityas are so, how demonic can you be? He's going to kill Prahlad with that same sword. Both were in a state of desperate situation. What we see happening here is how Rukmini takes shelter and how Prahlad has taken shelter. When do devotees take shelter? Or when does any person take shelter? So we'll discuss in some detail about the principle of shelter. The principle of shelter actually is completely, entirely, foundationally based on the principle of fear. Unless there is perception of fear, there is no question of accessing any shelter. And fear is the predominant foundational principle of the material existence. Among ahar, nidra, bhai, methunam cha. Right? Prabhupada explains that the most powerful is not ahar or nidra, not even maithun. The most powerful principle of material world is bhaya. More than all the four. Of the four, bhaya is... So everything practically happening in this world is governed by, controlled by the principle of fear. Right? A person goes to school. You go to school because if you don't get educated, the fear of not getting a job. You know, if you fail in exams, you know, if you keep failing, fear. A person marries because he fears loneliness. He wants camaraderie. Right? You do exercises and yoga and pranayama because of fear, disease and ill health and pain and suffering. Right? So fear actually dominates every activity. Not only at the individual level, but even at the level of societies and countries, the biggest industries in the world are defense industries. A large part of the GDP of any country, significant amount of GDP of any country, disproportionately of course, more than welfare and education, is defense. A big industry is cosmetology, huge industry, multi-billion dollar is cosmetics. The fear of losing the beauty of your body is cosmetology, and artificial limbs and artificial this, and I mean all sorts of artificial things can be done these days. Anything artificial can be created. Artificial skin, anything, so many things, artificial teeth and hair, and so many. Multi-billion dollar, the fear of losing beauty. Another big industry is the insurance industry, right? Again, multi-billion dollar. General insurance, car insurance, home insurance, and life insurance, right? The fear of the insurance agent come to you and said, sir, if, you know, this is a so-and-so is a scheme and this and that, and, you know, the premium is only so many lakhs per year, whatever, whatever. In case something happens to you, agar aapko kuch ho jata hai, this is, they have to use this word again and again and again to the customer, right? Agar aapko kuch ho jata hai, toh, then your family and, you know, this and that. And so you can only sell any insurance policy of any premium, small or big, based on how much you can create fear in the heart of the customer. I said, wow, if I die prematurely, what happens to my family, my parents, my wife, and my property, my car, right? So you have insurance. You have insurance for your nails also. You have nail insurance. So it's crazy how much this fear factor is there, right? So whether it's insurance or cosmetology or the whole science of medicine, and alternative medicine is huge industry. You know, more than $400 billion per year in America alone for alternative medicine, herb medicine, fear. So it is the fear which actually promotes. In fact, even in Srimad Bhagavatam it says it is because of fear the sun moves, isn't it? Because of fear that the, you know, moon moves around, right? It is the fear of Krishna that everything goes around. So everything actually in the material world is based on, right, from the smallest to the biggest, right? And the fear does not seem to leave us. Even somebody as powerful as Indra becomes fearful, right? So what promotes fear? The more we hanker, the more we will fear. directly proportional. The more you hanker for things in this world, you will keep on fearing their loss and how to maintain it. So hankering is directly proportional to fear. The more Indra hankers to keep his position on, the more he fears. And Narayan Rishi doesn't care about his position, and they have no fear. So what brings us to Krishna consciousness also actually is fear. Fear of pain and suffering. We want some shelter. So when you feel actually shelterless, with all that you have around you, you will tend to gravitate towards God and divinity. And that's probably brought most of us to Krishna consciousness. So the first level is fear. And when you come to Krishna consciousness, you start feeling some amount of shelter, is it not? But then another fear here arises, the fear of non-acceptance. What do my friends think? What do my parents think? What will my society think? Haven't you all gone through all that, right? What my relatives think? What my cousins think? You're fearful about what your image now is. You are a Hare Krishna. So you have changed your gears of your life. You're going in a particular gear, a particular direction. Now you become a Hare Krishna. So that fear of non-acceptance is there. The fear of ridicule is there. Right? So that fear comes in. But gradually, because we associate devotees, that fear dies away. Because see, there are so many people who are devotees, so many young people are devotees, so many intelligent people are devotees, so many doctors are devotees, so many engineers are devotees, so many educated people are devotees. So it's not just people who are anybody. Everyone is, so many people are devotees who are young, intelligent, promising people. They are becoming devotees. So then in that association, you find company, then you don't care what other people feel about you. So you overcome that fear. Right? So there is something called as unhealthy fear and healthy fear. So unhealthy fear is when you just fearful like Indra. It's, when you think in terms of iron mind, it's always unhealthy fear. But the moment you start actually becoming, taking shelter, so how does fear go down? Fear goes down to the extent you feel shelter. Like you have a seesaw, right? So when you have top, you have high fear, you have so much of fear, then your shelter is very on the minimum level, right? When you find complete, become, when you get complete shelter, your fear becomes zero. It's like this. So when you have complete shelter, you experience what? Bhajahure mana, Sri Nandanandana, abhaya, you become abhaya. So our goal of life actually is to go from fearfulness to fearlessness. That's the goal of our life. And that comes only when you take complete shelter. Right? So, for a devotee, also the fear principle is very important. Even though he may not be so much fearful about the things of the outside world, but it is fear which actually makes them do the right thing. We follow four aggregative principles because of the fear of lowering ourselves from the standards set by the spiritual master. We chant 16 rounds because we have the healthy, this is not talking about healthy fear now. That healthy fear is essential. He doesn't talk to the opposite gender fully intimately because of the fear of contaminating his consciousness. Right? It doesn't do immoral things because of the fear of actually getting contaminating his consciousness. So actually, just like Rukmini Devi is fearful, actually Rukmini is experiencing intense fear in her heart that she will be under the subjugation of a daitya, of a demon called Shishupal. And that fear of connecting to Shishupal actually is making her more and more connected to Krishna. The more she's experiencing the intensity, as it is coming closer, the moment is coming closer, the marriage is coming closer, it's just few days. And now it is just few days, it's one day. Now it's only few hours. And Krishna has still not come. Krishna has still not come. So you can imagine her fear is intense. But it is not just fear alone. It is not the level of what we call as paranoia in psychology. It's just fear. When the fear is there in devotee, he takes the more experience fear, the more you actually take shelter. So it is important to fear material consciousness. A healthy fear of offending Vaishnavas is a good fear. It's called healthy fear. If you offend Vaishnavas, look at what happened to Prahlad. Here is a person, God himself, angry. Every time Hiranyakashipu was torturing Prahlad, in an unmanifest form, the Lord was getting angry with him. It's not just he got angry when he came out of the pillar. The moment he was touching Prahlad's body with something absolutely inimical out of hate, each time the Lord was getting more and more angry, angry and angry and more angry and even more angry. And then he was able to slice Prahlad's head with the sword, and his anger reached the peak. Anger which nobody has seen in creation. There cannot be a person more angry in this world than Narasingadev. Right? It is said, the king of the jungle is the lion, but he is not the most dangerous. Even though he is the most ferocious of animals, he is not the most dangerous animal. He is very dangerous, but not the most. The most dangerous is a ferocious lioness. And when she most ferocious? When someone tries to harm her child. When someone tries to harm her child, she will tear that person brutally, ferociously, and mercilessly tear that person apart. No matter who is or who she is, if they have a gun or they have anything in their hand, they say, she's, my child is having fear, is fear of death, of harm to my child. Any animal can go to any extent. Right? The most ferocious is a mother lioness. She's the most dangerous of all animals. And that is Narasingadev in its absolute magnitude, where he is fearing the loss of her child. My child will be killed by Hiranyakashipu. And that's how it is. But Prahlad was feeling complete shelter. How is that? How is it that Prahlad can feel shelter? It's impossible to imagine how you can stand in front of Hiranyakashipu's sword with his ferocious eyes which make Indra fearful and still experience complete peace in your heart. How? The only rational explanation can be through analogy. Or what happens is, the cat, the tiger, and the lion almost belong to the same genus, zoologically, Felis. And they actually pick up their child in their teeth when they transfer from place one to place two. Right? So the cat actually holds, we have seen a kitten, but the skin fold in her neck, the kitten is held by the teeth of the mother. The same teeth which are fear personified death at some point for the rat are complete shelter for the kitten. Even the tiger and even the lioness, they also hold their cubs through the mouth. And when they hold them like that, Does the child feel anything? The child feels, in fact, in that teeth, 100% complete safety, protection, and shelter. Absolute fearlessness experienced by those same teeth. So when the teeth of Narasingadeva are there, for Prahlad, those teeth are the most beautiful teeth. You are feeling complete shelter. Right? So that's what it is. When we take shelter of the Lord, then nothing of the world can actually unnerve us. And Prahlad is feeling that. He's feeling complete shelter in presence of Narasingadev. So that is called as that fear of a sadhaka is very important to cultivate. Jai. So this is all called as healthy fear. And the more we become conscious of, like Prabhupada is in front of the deities in Los Angeles and he's praying with folded hands and tears in his eyes. And a devotee asks him, my dear Prabhupada, what are you praying? Prabhupada is saying, I'm praying that I will not fall into Maya. So this is all a part of our sadhana bhakta's consciousness, where he takes shelter of the fear principle. You take shelter of the principle of fear. That is fantastic. The fear of falling down, the fear of being disloyal to spiritual master, the fear of offending Vaishnavas, the fear of falling back from the standards that are expected, to the fear of not doing your duties to the mission. These fears are all very healthy fears. They must be entertained. They must be kept very dear. Right? Because that fear will make us keep on moving forward. Keeping forward on the path. Right? And the more we move forward on the path, who's leading the path? We are behind. And the spiritual master is in front. The biblical tradition gives a nice analogy to make us understand. So Christ told his apostles that I am walking in front and you just follow me. And you'll experience this fearlessness. Don't look behind, he said. Because when you look behind, you're looking back to the things you have left behind. We all have left behind something in our life to attain Krishna, is it not? We've given up our sense gratificatory, trying to give up our sense gratificatory habits, all our whole dear habits, our whole lifestyles, whatever we have. We've given it up. We've probably given up some of our dear relationships also. Some of you brahmacharis have given up some things. Some people who may be very dear to your life, you have given up them. Right? We all have, to some extent, given up something to gain something. Unless you give up something, you cannot get something, right? You give up your sleep to work hard and get more money. Right? You give up the peace of mind to really, you know, take anxiety for the company. So you have to give up something to get something. So you've given up something. So don't look behind, Christ said. If you look behind, you're going to get attracted to that. You'll start feeling sorry. Oh, I give up so much. So don't look behind. He said, don't look on the sides also. Look on the sides, it is what the world is to offer to you. You look here, oh, this is there, oh, that is there. So you're going to get attracted, distracted. So don't look at the side. You just look only in, look only in front. And that is a fearless path. Because when you look only in front, you're looking at nothing else but the feet of your spiritual master. So that's why this fear is there of losing shelter. Therefore it is said, Dhrida Kori Dhoro Nitai Pad. That Dhrida Kori, so we may not be the level of right now the kitten or the cub of the lion, but we can certainly be the baby monkey. When you're fully surrendered, you can actually feel that you're in the mouth of the cat or the lioness, your mother. But for us, we are probably more modeled to be like the baby monkey, where with effort you hold on to your mother monkey. Right? That's the principle which we can follow right now. Right? That with your own effort, Dhrida Kori Dharo Nitai Pad. Right? The fear of losing, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. We take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Right? And we took shelter of that very strongly, because we are like that baby monkey. If we leave the monkey, the mother is jumping here and there. The mother is not sitting in one place. Right? Mother is jumping from tree to tree looking for food and looking for whatever else she needs to do in her life. And the baby monkey loses that grip of the mother for a few seconds. She's going to fall from a height and die. The mother is monkeying on some tree here and some tree there and some... You know, jumping across wires and across trees, she just jumps from here to there. And if the child leaves, she falls and injures herself and she dies. And she's terrible. So we need to look at the baby monkey as our role model. For us, she is the best example in the material world of shelter. Right? That we hold on very tightly to her belly. That we hold on very tightly to the principles of bhakti which we have accepted in our life. And never allow ourselves to degenerate lower than that standard. That means we call as what we call in technical language as bhajana kriya. that bhajana kriya is our shelter. Our Navavidha bhakti, which we learned about from Prahlad Maharaj yesterday, in that, you know, Sravanam Smaranam Vishnu Pada Sevanam, that shloka is for us our shelter. But that's, those nine processes are our bhajana kriya. So when we really take shelter of those principles of bhakti, then actually like that baby monkey, right? And we'll be feeling shelter. So that fear is what we want to keep alive and alive. The moment you become fearless, Prabhupada used to say, or somebody told Prabhupada, or maybe Prabhupada, I'm not very sure, but he said, my only fear is your devotees are not suddenly scared of Maya. Who said that? Prabhupada said that? Prabhupada said that, right? You're confirming, right? Prabhupada said this. How powerful is that observation of Prabhupada, and how deeply we need to take that sentence of Prabhupada in our heart. Prabhupada said, my only fear about followers of ISKCON is one. I'm not fearing that they will not get enough prasadam. They won't have enough service, right? What does Prabhupada say? That the organization may not have enough funding for it to be maintained. There will not be enough donors, life members to fund that movement to grow. Prabhupada's concern was not about all that for his organization. He was concerned about the organization's growth more than that he was concerned about the people who are already in the organization, who are running the organization, who are giving their lives to the organization, who are connected, taking shelter of the organization. So you're taking shelter of the organization, yes, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness through ISKCON, right? But my fear is that you are not still sufficiently scared of Maya. That means we're going to probably leave the belly of our mother monkey. And if you lose that grip, we fall. We fall. And therefore that is very important. That we are nurturing at parallelly in our life the principle of fear and the shelter simultaneously. To be in fear consciousness is abnormal. Is abnormal. You cannot always live in fear because it's not healthy. It's a negative emotion ultimately. It's not a positive emotion. Fear is a negative emotion. Right? But when that fear helps you, what is healthy fear? Healthy fear is defined as consciousness of the fear factor which allows you to take shelter of the positive principle. And that is called healthy fear. So the extent we feel this fear and then it promotes to take more shelter of the vigraha, the more shelter of the process of Nama, the more shelter of the Dhamma, the more shelter of Krishna's devotees, the more shelter of the Shastra, the more it promotes that shelter, then that parallel fear growth, that balanced fear and shelter, is important. If you only go towards the shelter principle without understanding the fear, we may become sentimental about the shelter factor. We start jumping into the shelter factor of Krishna's 10th canto Leelas prematurely. You cannot take shelter of those leelas at all. You just cannot. You have no adhikar to go there. Right? We pretty much go into the jump. We can take principles, but you can't take shelter of that leela too much. Till actually you have overcome the fear well. And then you go to the level of the fourth stage would be transcendental fear. Which explains by descendants of Vrindavan also. Right? Yashoda bhyolukhyaladhavamanam. No, so even Krishna is not free from fear. Yashoda bhyo. Bhyo means fear. Bhaya, bhyo. Right? So that is transcendental fear. That's way beyond our understanding, but still the principle is still there. Right? That even Krishna has to get scared, fearful of what? One doesn't get scared of a person as powerful as Hiranyakashipu. Narsingh comes in front of Hiranyakashipu and he's not fearful of Hiranyakashipu's power. He just stares at him, cut, finished. In a few minutes, he's dead. He's sliced off, torn apart, heart removed, intestines removed, gruesome murder. Killing. Somebody tried to kill my child, he's going to kill you. Right? You cannot kill my child like that. Angry father, killing somebody who's going to destroy her child. Right? The same person is amazing, is scared of a stick. You're not scared of Yashoda, you know, you're not scared of Hiranyakashipu's sword, but you're scared of a stick. in the hand of a woman. A woman, non-muscular woman, is having a stick, you know, just 4 feet long, and you're just running, scared. You're running, 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 running from this room to that room. He said, I should not be hit by that stick, right? That is fantastic. That's something which you can relish, that we can't understand with our rational brains. How is this possible? The same person is not scared of a sword, he's scared of a stick. How can you understand that rationally? It's not possible. But at some point we give up rationality, is it not, in bhakti? At some point we definitely give up rationality. But rationality is based on human brain and human intelligence. But Krishna consciousness is beyond human brain intelligence. It's transcendental. Transcendental means something is beyond. And then when we give up the rational thinking process completely, then we can start relishing Leela. Leela Aswadana can take place. That even Krishna, Srimati Radharani is scared that Krishna may leave me, and she cries tears which from Prem Sarovar. Right? So that is transcendental fear. The fear of loss of someone in the level of Swarupa Siddhi is transcendental fear. So of course we are very far from there. We are very, very far from that. But we can at least get the principle on. So let us take shelter of what we have received. It is said the great souls come to this world not to receive but to give. Right? So Srila Prabhupada has come to this world. Yesterday Narasingadev came to this world. Rukmini Devi came on the previous day into this world. What did they come into this world for? They came to give us something. Great souls always give, they don't take. It is people who are small-minded, who are always in the mood of taking, 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 amassing, harnessing, hoarding, right? But the great souls like the sun are always giving and giving and giving, giving anything and everything they have. Prabhupada was just giving away his life, his energy, his thoughts, his words, his molecule of, every molecule of his cell was for giving the world what the world needed most. So we are here simply to receive. So we all, if we receive the grateful heart, the shelter of Prabhupada, Narasingadev, Rukmini Devi, and Krishna's association of devotees has come to give us, a life will be successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.